What does it look like to own web design for one of the fastest growing AI companies in the world?
So we went through a few more pages.
The scale of the amount of web design that you just did dawned on me.
How do you even get this opportunity if you don't have companies like Apple or Airbnb on your resume?
I mean, you always want to have one main core interaction or like this wow factor or something that really makes it easy to understand what you're doing. I've been playing a lot with Cloud Code, and it's amazing how much it unlocks. You know, if you're a designer, you have all the ideas, you know how it's supposed to look in the end. So like now you can, if you have a little bit of technical knowledge, you can build so many things. And I could say that keeps me awake at night. I'm just so excited about, you know, building so many things.
Welcome to Dive Club. My name is Rid, and this is where designers never stop learning. This week's episode is with Roman Teslyuk, who's leading web design at 11 Labs. So he's going to walk us through the tiniest of decisions all the way to how he thinks about the broader web system. But one of my favorite parts of this episode is hearing about all of Roman's side projects and the different ways that he's becoming a builder with AI. But before we get into all of that, this episode starts in the 11 Labs Figma.
When you think of 11 Labs, it's a voice company, research going on like behind the scenes. It's not a rep company, you know, where the research and the models come from somewhere else and you just the UI interface, all of that. So that was kind of the plan, to try and like visualize that on the, in the brand and on the marketing side of things and part of the product. And that was kind of like tricky, right? So we're kind of looking for like different ways coming from this a bit more colorful. If you can imagine like these colorful orbs, like a bit pastel-y color palettes, a lot of whites, and trying to see, you know, like what can be like this unique identity and kind of like core for the brand. And so work with the outside agency to try to collect some ideas. And so here's like just a file that we're working in. And so went through like a lot of different concepts, to be honest. And it took a bit of time there, right? So, you know, we had something with, try to play with shapes and with different colors. At some point, we stumbled upon this concept of Chladni patterns, and we felt it was something that kind of really resonated with the brand, right? So this is something that is connected to the voice and to the identity of the product, right? So Chladni patterns are like those patterns where that like form when the like certain frequencies of music plays, which is like a really interesting concept, but like it's kind of abstract. You can play with it a lot, and then you get a lot of different interesting patterns and shapes. We tried a lot of different things. It wasn't feeling like it was 100% there, right? So, but there were already some interesting ideas from the very beginning. Eventually, we ended up that is something that is kind of a mix of Chladni patterns, of a little bit of color, you know, these kind of like moody images and little patterns and motions, and the mix of that with patterns, a bit of noise and glass and blur effects. And that was, and then like we ended up there was kind of the like the nice point to start with the brand experimentation. We created some generators online where we could like kind of play with different patterns and then try to combine like these different layers. That was from that point where to like figure out how to do like the most complex part, right? So this was like collaboration, like internally with an external team. And from that, we were looking for different ways how to use it, and we had to like take it and build on top of that and try to use, you know, like these patterns and these motifs in different use cases. Because, you know, 11 Labs is still like very startup-y, and, you know, there's a lot of going on and there's so many projects happening. We could not kind of stop and redesign the whole website. So we had a bit of a transition that is actually still happening. So this was kind of the base and the foundation.
Real quick message, and then we can jump back into it. Fun fact for you, I'm right on the cusp of the top 1% of Granola users. So when I say I cannot get enough of this product, I mean it. It is that good. But after seeing their end of year crunched report, I have even more respect for this product. I never have a conversation about design without Grunting Granola, and somehow it perfectly organizes all of it for me, whether it's chatting with guests for Dive Club or doing user research or keeping track of tasks for InFlight. And then Crunched gave me this beautiful synopsis of all of the key themes and even some funny moments from the past year. It's just a good product. So if somehow you're not already using Granola, head to dive.club/granola to spin it up for your next meeting. So Lovable just had another big time release. You can now build and customize online stores powered by Shopify and Lovable. And earlier in my career, I was really into Shopify, but I always felt limited by their templates and was super intimidated by doing anything too custom. But now you can go from idea to storefront to selling in just a few minutes. It's a big deal for the future of commerce. So if you've ever wanted to build an online store, now is the time. Just head to dive.club/lovable to get started. Okay, now on to the episode.
Something that might be interesting is how we kind of went through, you know, looking in all of these patterns and how we try to like use them on the website.
Yeah. This is a point that so many designers find themselves in where they get this cool mood board and brand book and everything looks really nice. And then it's like, no, use it, you know? So where'd you start when you were thinking about how to apply this, where to extrapolate it? I'd love to kind of go back to even the beginning stages.
It was like, in a way, something that looked pretty good and like, you know, like how agencies like to put it on some banners, like ad banners, where it's like very clean. You just put something that's like visually nice, but it doesn't necessarily tell the story that like maybe you want to tell, like on a very specific page, you know, like our product is pretty massive. And so we have a lot of different sub products. You might not think of, when you think of 11 Labs, you might think of just kind of voice cloning and voices, but there are a lot of different sub products. And they're all like very different from each other. So like trying to figure out, you know, how to use all that, how we use all of that. So I actually started with the agents, and that was kind of like one of my first big projects where we got to play with some of the new branding system and try to find a way to use it. And so something we took out of that was, you know, taking maybe the existing 11 Labs, not fully throwing it out, right? But you probably think about, you know, like a minimalist, like a really nice clean layout, right? A lot of white space. And now we have these nice visuals. We have cladding patterns to connect with the voice a little bit visually. And then we have like nice glass effects. So I think this is something that we took and we try to like put it and combine that in different assets that we use. So for example, this one, it was for agents, AI agents, or back then it was like conversational agents, but multiple names. This is like where we try to apply some of these colors. So you can see like from the very start, this part. And I think most of these pages are live, so you can go and check them out. A lot of like really nice interactions on it that tell the story. But this part is animated and like these are already new assets. Each of them is a video showcasing different use cases. And like this is how we try to, in the first, in the beginning.
Yeah, that's that pattern.
Patterns. So we try to combine cladding patterns, some of these moody but still clean images with blur effects and a bit of grain. Yeah, this was the first implementation, our first try at it.
I really like this hero section because it feels very clean and familiar. And, you know, that's like the sassy layout, except you have the composition up top coming from the header. That's pretty fresh. I haven't seen that implementation very often.
It was a fun process. We tried a lot of different layouts, right? So with this one, so this was something, it was like a very late change almost before going live. And I'm very happy that we did that, to be honest. So like from the concept is, you know, you land on this page as a user and there are like three different layers of interaction and understanding what the whole idea is, because the core of this is conversational. So there's a lot of voice going on. So you cannot see that, you know, if you just land on the page, you have to click on something. So the first thing is try to visualize the conversation and chat and specifically tool calling. So that, you know, the agent can check the order status and do like different things like that. And so this happens as like the first interaction. So you kind of get idea what's happening. And then this bottom part is always like 5 viewpoint height visible. Like there's about 5 to 10% of height that is always reserved. So like, you know, this is not cut off, or it's not, you know, that you only see this part of on top and then you have CTA being cut off or anything like that. And then this is kind of the second layer of, you know, trying to explain what we do and what like conversational agents do. These are videos you can kind of play, you can hear the audio, but these are still like passive, right? So you're just kind of watching videos at this point. Where you can already see that, you know, the agent can do so many different things and be in as a customer support agent, it can be like in gaming and be like a character, and you're already understanding a lot of things. And the third layer is something, you cannot see in this view, but there's a floating widget that is always present, that is a little different from the traditional, you know, 11 Labs widget that is kind of integrated into the page. And this one is for you to kind of talk and experience this yourself. So, you know, this takes the most effort, because you have to click and you have to talk and you might be not in the right place to talk. But like once you do, you will be really convinced, you know, you can really experience the agent and then the quality of the voice and stuff like that. So that was kind of the idea behind that, I think, to, you know, just kind of demo the product, keep it clean.
Can I go a little bit deeper into that component really quickly? Because it could land kind of flat without all that interactivity. And in many ways, how it moves and what it shows is kind of the quality of the design. So talk to me a little bit about how you're exploring like the interactions. How closely are you working with developers? Are you prototyping those yourself? Like what, how did that part of the process work?
Yeah. There are different ways that we go about it. We work actually like pretty close with developers. I'm like semi-technical, so I can go in the code and kind of play with it a bit myself. And it's something that I was also doing at, you know, this step as well. But how it starts is, you know, we get an idea. Like normally our timelines at 11 Labs are pretty short. We don't kind of have the time to, you know, go and create like a ton of different prototypes and prototype a lot of different interactions and animations. I'm lucky to also work with a like really talented team that can just take a design and kind of really pick it up and understand what's supposed to happen. So we align pretty closely to like polish this. So with this one, we have a few different types of animations. We have coded animations that are like built in code. And this is one of them. There's always a collaboration happening that I might jump in the code and try to, you know, play with the small interactions or try to polish some easing curves or some like the order of animations, what's happening. And so we kind of collaborate on that until it hits a spot and until like we feel it's there, it's ready to be released. This one is awesome because this one is built in code. You can localize the text, reuse that in different pages. And there's a SEO use case as well. So like we use something, a CMS called Payload. So this is one of the components. We can just pick this component and say, yeah, I want to have these chats. And then it will create dynamically the chat, which is really awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Before that, actually, we explored Rive as well for this one. So I even had a little different UI for this, but like the first version build of this was in Rive. Like a little drawback of using Rive in our case is because you cannot use voice. And in our case, voice is also pretty important. For this widget, we went with a built in the code, and we have some other examples that I will show where we have some graphics or some visual parts that were built in Rive and some other things, you know, like the videos. Some of them I do myself sometimes, but most of the time we have video designers that are creating a lot of really awesome videos. Lately, we try to go a lot more into building a lot of these widgets in code to, you know, achieve that sharpness and have all that control over the animation. This is how you can see how we're trying to use the client patterns. And like something we realized pretty soon that if you try to put a lot of these patterns, you know, even if you have different shapes and use them for every single graphic, like it becomes really like overwhelming, right? So you don't want to use this for every single like UI shot or every single image. But we had a few different variants. We're like playing with smaller and more like a larger patterns, different cutouts that are happening in this case. You cannot see so well in this example, but like this part is blurred. This part would be unblurred. So playing with the blurs as well.
And you built a web generator to create those?
We built that as part of the experimentation process to try and see how cloudy patterns behave, because part of the branding exercise, if you've like one of the first things I showed you where also cloudy patterns were a lot simplified. And so at some point, when you try to simplify them a lot, they lose that mathematical feel and the accuracy feel. And they kind of feel like, you know, some random blobs. So we're trying to find how they actually look mathematically. So we have this part that is pretty fun to play with.
It's so cool.
And it's based on, you know, mathematical behavior of cloudy patterns. So you kind of play with them and control them in different ways, which is really awesome. Like the thickness of lines. And you can see that's kind of the effect that we started with. We have, there's a bit of noise effect overlaying. There's a blur, but blur only kind of on parts of the image. And that creates like this pretty, pretty cool effect. Something that we'll play with here, for example, so you don't always have to like show the whole pattern. You can take, you know, just part of the pattern, take the corner, zoom that in, and then you have like a really cool effect where part of the image is visible, part of the image is, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you can see the glassy nod to the brand book that you showed earlier now.
This felt unique and awesome and something very close to the brand feeling and vibe that we're going for. So we started with that. And yeah, we try to play with it. We also had like versions where, you know, you would only have the cloudy pattern. And this was our first page. I'm just going through some of these examples here. This was a very fun section too, as a, you know, like the developer section. And we tried to, you know, developers to like make this look a little bit more technical. So this can look like a little bit different from the rest. The plan is to do the same whenever we, you know, end up building the developer page, which not yet fully built in with following the new brand that I can't wait because I think that's going to be really fun. But this part here, if you check the website, it's animated. So we have like this part is animated and this part is fully done in Rive. So that was awesome to work on as well. So we have a bit of a mix where we use the code, where we use Rive and some videos. Also realized pretty early on that we could not solely rely on clustering patterns as like the only visual element. So we're trying to find a balance and also find a way to create some of the graphics. And so one part would be to have some of the product shots, but you know, with all of the complexity, we did not want to try to overcomplicate the UI. So trying to simplify the graphics a little bit and trying to find a balance there till I still keep it clean and like match the whole aesthetic of the whole web page. Yeah. In some cases we'd also want to have some graphics or it's not a part of the UI they want to show. This was like one of the first things that we tried where, you know, we have like these isometric kind of little technical, like line based illustration. This one is fun because you can click on it on the website.
Cool.
So that was pretty cool too.
The dotted lines around it really make it for me. Like they make it quite unique.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. That was something that is still there, which I'm happy about too. And something, you know, like a lot of kind of line work that you can see online, but other line is not so widely used. So, which gives a technical look from here. Okay. Can show you a few more examples that we are trying to playing with different line works and a bit of abstract graphics. Yeah. And this is already kind of getting into that a bit more technical feel. And we also realized pretty early on. So that was one part was, you know, how do we bring that feeling of the voice and put it in the center of what the brand is? But the second part was also like a technical part, right? And we did not want to make it too technical or make it look like it's only made for developers because the product is so wide. At the core of the whole company is the research. So I wanted to like make sure that is reflected. And that's kind of how we ended up looking into the aesthetic. One of the next following projects, and you can see how we're still playing with a similar aesthetic, but like how it's developing. So that was the second page. And like the whole idea with all of our landing pages and the whole design language on the website is, you know, as we're like developing all of these sections and all of these pages, we're trying to build a bit of a system. It's about the design uniqueness, but it's also about building a system to make sure we have all of these components that are somewhat reusable. We have a bunch of pages that are used, you know, on not only for like the feature pages, but for like SEO and some like other very specific projects. So like we, from the very, very start, we built all of these as components, and that was kind of part of the thinking process as well. But as we're going through this, of course, every product is so different. So the hero section is where we're trying to do something a little bit different, something fun. And this was like really awesome idea from Nev actually, where this part is a carousel and you can interact with that and play all the demos of the music right away.
And that's the first thing I did when I got on this page. So I just took my cursor, just grabbed it and spun it. It felt great.
I love this one. I love this component. Yeah. Also like if you play the music, I mean, it's incredible, right? How awesome it sounds. That is like another part, how crazy it is, you know, going from agents that could be its own standalone company to music that also tells you like the quality of the research behind the company. We went through this part and this again, like we'll try to play with a bit more kind of technical feeling in these or like little snippets from the UI and they kind of animate it. And they're going through, you know, a bit of storytelling of going through generating a song and going through a couple of versions. We already started playing with separators and trying to see how we can some like visually maybe use a bit more lines because always a tricky part, you know, how to visually group the sections. Oftentimes you might need to have a center title or you might have to have like a left aligned title, like then you're sorting all of the content within the section. And with having the background like really clean and white, it was kind of tricky to like group them, right? So we came up with like with a neat system of like using like the separators, like we have the dotted line, we have the title of the section. And that's something that we used in the first pages. And that also went to the music page, so that's we use it here. And in this part, this one was really fun to work on as the left side is kind of scrolling through and the right side is sticky and this is clipped. And so like as you scroll, like different parts of different graphics are scrolling through. And then you can also see again a different use case where we have a bit of noise. It's a combo of like glass, noise, cloudy patterns, some moody images.
This parallax implementation here is probably my favorite part of this entire page. But again, it's one of those things where like maybe you have the idea, but it's kind of hard to bring to life without getting out of, you know, just like Vector and Figma? Like, is that something where you kind of have to pitch the idea to a developer and be like, hey, what if it worked like this? Can you just try it and we'll see how it feels? Yeah. Were you able to prototype it? Like, how do you bring something like this to life? Because it's a very non-intuitive implementation, but it totally works.
Yeah, that's the fun part. I mean, at 11 Labs, everyone is really down to build something fun. So oftentimes when we're not sure if how that's technically, I wouldn't say feasible, everything's pretty much feasible, right? But if it's technically achievable or not in our case, then we kind of try to prototype it real quick. So awesome team. So Gergay, shout out, and Brad. So we try to like really quickly go and prototype this. And if that makes sense, you know, we continue. And then the final step, it would be like polishing everything. I would jump in the code sometimes. So like, to be honest, I know oftentimes in my past as well, like it would be really tricky to pitch something, you know, whether it's a product or just a website, to pitch some interaction. But I think the team is very eager to build awesome stuff.
Yeah, it's amazing how often the answer comes down to you just have to work with people who care.
Exactly. And to be honest, you know, there are a lot of fun examples online. So like oftentimes you would see something as an inspo and we kind of see, okay, that's, these guys did that this way, so we can for sure do something as well. So there's like some inspiration online, makes it a lot easier. After that, we started thinking, you know, like at some point we stumbled upon like internally in the team, experimenting with the grid system and trying to see like what else we can do to even like step this up even more. So we landed eventually on the grid system to like add more lines to the page. And so we did like a few more versions, a few more styles of the page that we're sticking to now. So like this is something already with a Studio 3.0, maybe you've seen that online, and you already see that this one is a little different. So it was like kind of a next version, like of our process. And we'll have to probably go back and also like clean up some of the previous pages to, you know, make sure we keep the consistency level. But this is something already closer to like our final look, you know, where you still have the hero section that serves as the place to sell the feature. It's like every feature is really, really different. We already have this interesting grid, right? So like that helps us separate sections. And so for example, where the other one was a similar concept of right side that was sticky and the left side was you could scroll through. We have a similar concept here, but we're already using more grid and some bento grids as well, and some visuals that I'm gonna also show you in a second. That's also another fun part of it. Yeah, so we have a few examples of this one.
I love how intentional the imagery is. Like all of it is so on brand and cohesive.
Yeah, that's another challenge. That's something that we really wanted to, you know, show parts of the UI, but not try to overcomplicate it. Still stick to, you know, make sure like it fits the UI of the page and simplify that a little bit. So we try to intentionally cut off some of the noise, you know, that is important in the product, but maybe not as crucial on the marketing website. So that's why some of these are like intentionally a little bit simplified. It also has now a little bit of like an actual look. So this is not purely white. There's a bit of grayish background color.
Oh yeah, you're right. I'm scrolling this right now.
Yeah, which it's a really interesting effect because then it helps some of the graphics stand out. So if we use sometimes, you know, white color and some of the elements of the graphics, or we have a secondary button or a toggle and we have like a slightly elevated effect, then we use like white fill. And it makes like the whole element stand out a little bit more, which is a pretty nice effect. Yeah. So we went through a few more pages. There's a bunch.
The scale of the amount of web design that you just did dawned on me. I've been designing products every day for the last 15 years, but in the last 6 months, everything has changed. With AI in the mix, I'm cranking out ideas faster than ever, but none of that matters if I can't get the feedback that I need to get the team aligned. And right now, getting async feedback still kind of sucks. So I'm building the product I've always wanted, and it's called InFlight. I use it every day to share ideas and get feedback from the team. And it's totally changing the way that I work. So I'm excited to show you. Right now, I'm only giving access to Dive Club listeners. So head to dive.club/InFlight to claim your spot. Okay, so let's take a step back here because you have an incredible amount of polished work that either has shipped or is shipping. Mm-hmm. Can we just duck down a rabbit hole really quickly of some stuff that didn't make it and talk about why and look at some of the mess behind the scenes of these finished concepts?
We are about to redesign a text-to-speech page. And so I'm just going to show you first a final version and then the version before that to kind of get a bit more context. This page, we're trying to, you know, explain and show and demo our speech-to-text and our voices. So we have now, if you open the page now, you might see an omnibox, what we call like this part here, but the older version we have on the website. But the problem is you have to, you know, it's kind of like a text box first. So then you have to type in the text and then you have to select the voice and then click play. So it takes like too many steps, right? So I want to like make it easier to demo all of the voices. And that's kind of the core of the whole text to speech. We have like over 5,000 voices and they're really human-like and awesome. So this has to be as easy as possible, right, to demo. So yeah, the first version I landed on came from a few iterations from other pages. We work on the enterprise page. That was really awesome. And that's where kind of like we landed on this. Maybe I'll show you for context so you makes more sense. We came up with this concept for, you know, on one side you have like what you see in the app and what you see in the product, and the other side you see the output and what the user interacts with. So we would have the AI agents and the AI agents what you see in the product and then the final output. Cool. And then if you have the creative platform, you would see a creative platform what you see in the app and then the output, which would be in this case, we would show a video that is dubbed in with voiceovers. So I like the split screen concept that we're built on. And so that was like my first idea to use that here as well. And so we'll like land on this page, and right away you would see, okay, you would have all of the voices, you have a list of voices. You can play right away. And on the right side, you can see the result and you can play it or you can click and edit. The feedback we got though made a lot of sense, right? So like there's a lot of visual weight on the right side. But one of the first things you land on this page, your eyes will land here, which might be not so bad because it's kind of the voice that's selected, but it might take like a second for you to connect that this part is linked to a voice on this side. So mm-hmm. like visually, the visual weight is a lot lower. So it might take a second for you to like find out that, okay, I can click on this to interact here. And then something again that, you know, in my concepts, first for me made a lot of sense, right? That, you know, you can try to hover over this part. Yeah, okay, that would be an interaction. But the downside was that, you know, this part here is not so, it doesn't look so interactive, right? And so like the visual weight is off. So I try to play with a few more versions, you know, try to make this look a little bit more like an omnibox that we have now that you can click and interact with this. Something like this, where also like a little bit closer to what we have now. Yeah, this was kind of the initial idea that you hover over, you have a little morphing effect and you land on the, you know.
Yeah, it's cool.
It lets you know that it's interactive. Then we'll land on this. You know, the whole background lets you see that the whole thing is in focus and your eyes land on the whole card altogether. And the left and right side, they have the same visual weight. So, you know, visually, they're more connected. So you can click on the left side, play the audio. You can click on the right side, change the text, regenerate to like kind of see that, you know, these are not some one-off shots. And you can see yourself that the voices are like really human-like.
It kind of grounds the grid more too, like something from the first concept when you have the really prominent gradient box, but it's actually indented inside of the grid by like whatever it was, 12 pixels or 8 pixels. Mm-hmm. And so it just like visually throws off the lines just by a little bit. Whereas this really like you have that perfect strong edge on both sides too. So I see why you landed on this concept.
Well, it's a pattern that you're probably going to see on a lot of other pages from us that are already live and that are going to be coming out. And the rest, to be honest, we kind of land on it pretty soon. So we actually have already built like a pretty decent system, and I can go back and show you like a few more versions of the landing pages that we have. But as we go through each page in each iteration, we try to experiment with all of the sections and see if they work. And so like if we bullet a section and it works and we're happy with it, we're going to try to find a way to, you know, reuse it in some way, like add a bit of variance to it, make them interactive. So a lot of these things that I kind of built.
That's been like my takeaway listening to you talk is you're not just designing websites. You're designing this really robust system to display infinite number of websites and trying to figure out all the motifs and components and patterns that work in all of those different use cases. It's a fun challenge. Like this type of scale is something that I haven't worked on in web design before. And I can tell you're having a lot of fun with it.
It's not only looking at like one feature, one web, whether it's product design or web design, you're trying to see like this one page or one feature isolated from everything else, because like that's not how products are built. That's not how they work. That's not how they're technically set up, right? So all you technically set it up is you have components and you have systems. So you have to always keep that in mind. And as a designer, that's what I believe 100%. And that's a fun part of it, right? So it's not only about building one single button or one single section. You're trying to imagine whatever you might build in the future, how that can be applied. It will not be 100%, but you kind of think of one component with a few variants that you can apply. And then like reuse in multiple places. And so you have the consistency, but once you customize them a little bit, you put a different content inside, different animation or graphic, and then you have like a unique look.
I want to zoom out and get more of your story and career journey, that kind of a thing. But before we move on, just to make sure we covered our bases, is there anything that you're particularly proud of or that you want to show us today?
One of our latest pages, right? So we had a bit of a transition, right? So there was like a lot of challenges and along the way to like really get there. But I think lately we've been really feeling it and having a lot of fun with what we ended up with. We have Brad on the team who worked also on Tailwind. So we also use Tailwind as part for the marketing website as well. So we're trying to like, we're starting to really like play with this and really enjoy the process and like build a lot of the thing, cool things in code. So one of the awesome things here is you can see like the transition, like this gradient that we set up in the back. The noise, like it's no longer static.
Mm-hmm.
It's been morphed now. So like once you transition, there's some depth map that's allowing us to like also animate image, which is really awesome.
It's beautiful.
Go through these bento sections, which we'll be reusing in a lot of different places, but of course with different content. And so we're starting ready to use a lot of animations there that are very
subtle. I'm such a big fan of bento grids where there's one card top left that has a way higher contrast than all of the other ones. Yeah. That pattern I'm such a big fan of. It looks great.
Awesome. Thank you so much, man. Yeah. We're having so much fun with this. Also, it creates this balance. So we started with the first pages where, you know, every single feature with like this left and right on the Convey page had to have this color. So now we're ending up something where we have this balance of like paper-like backgrounds, subtle like line work and illustrations, and then subtle animations and a little bit of color. And this creates like really nice effects. So we have these awesome little interactions that help us tell the story. And they're built in a really cool way, right? So it's all built in code, and it lets you, as you hover, like you place the interaction and then it always finishes the interaction. Even if you hover out, like it was still finished interaction and then reset it, which is like a really awesome
feature. Yeah, it's beautiful. Sure. Are you generating these images? Like each page kind of has its own color motif going. How are you coming up with those?
We had a few different backgrounds that we generated initially. So we have a collection set that also like our branding team came up with. So we have a bunch of Cloudy patterns. We have a bunch of backgrounds that will be maybe about like 20 or 30, something like that. And so we kind of mix and match them. So we can take the Cloudy pattern, we can take the background, and we can kind of pick that and just, you know, play with that and just match them a little bit, right?
Okay, cool. I was just curious.
Yeah, we also generated a couple of these things. So you might see them in the product as well. They use for sound effects. They also like a mix of a little abstract with our color palette, like these moody motion blur. It also like creates a pretty cool effect.
I appreciate you taking us through the craziness that is your Figma, and the amount of pixels that you're putting together is truly impressive. I do kind of want to zoom out and learn a little bit more about your journey, because even just doing a quick glance at your LinkedIn, you know, you're working at 11 Labs, which is very clearly in that top tier of companies, leans all the way into design as a differentiating factor. And yet you don't have this like background of all of these high profile companies. You know, it's not like you got hired from Airbnb kind of thing. And I look at you, and one of the reasons that I'm inspired is you've continuously put yourself out there on the internet and tinkered and have all these experiments. And it's clear that's played some role in you landing this job. So can you talk to us a bit about how you wound up at 11 Labs and the different ways that you've even approached your career to get to this point?
I intentionally in my past try to focus on a little bit, not to go like into like big companies, like intentionally try to stay in startup area, because it's a fun process for me. The building is the most fun process of this whole thing, right? Like I wanted to learn everything about how companies are built from the very very first step, right? Not only from design side, but also from like from the founder side and how the companies are structured and everything like that. But the second part that also allowed me to build a lot of ideas on the side, like I've been using that as not as much as, you know, dropping everything and trying to build like a massive billion-dollar company, but like I've had some like little ideas here and there. That's kind of like, you probably have that too, right? So kind of the joy of building, and that's got that in design, but also you got that anytime you have any kind of idea and you want to make that idea real. I had a file sharing app that I built to like play with e-commerce, like a B2C when I'm like during Corona time. Last year, I started building like more apps, but like this curated website called like AppStacks, where I would kind of talk, do similar what you're doing, where I would talk to handpicked founders that I also admire myself, and like more like makers, you know, of apps. Like, yeah, it would be like Amy, not boring.
Not boring. Yeah. I think that's actually how I found AppStacks was your piece with Andy Allen.
Yeah, from Andy. It was awesome, right? So you learn a lot from them, and it's really awesome to chat and connect. So
can we go down that rabbit hole for a second? Because it's such a cool project. Like, we'll link AppStacks in the show notes. Why'd you do it? How'd you pull it off? How'd you get to the point where you're like, you know what? I'm actually going to do this and make it real and not just think about it.
I was actually working on another project called Portal that is like where I'm trying to rethink when I was also freelance, like I'm trying to go into freelancing and working on my own projects. And so there's a lot of gaps in freelancing. So I was trying to build this other project. And at that point, I started thinking, right? So every time you start to build a new product, you think, like, what is the best tech stack? Like, there's so many tech stacks out there. So you can go native. There's so many web tools that you can use, right? There's so many products that you can pick. And so you always think, what is the best route? So that's something where I started with. And that's where the name came from, AppStacks. Once I started thinking about it more, and like the interesting part always is the backstory of apps. And you want to know not only like this, you know, very marketing or the whatever you see on the website, you want to see a bit of the backstory. You want to see how they came up with that idea, and that kind of that I thought was very inspiring. And you could learn a lot from for your own projects and your own companies. And you can learn a lot whether, you know, you're a designer or like, or you're building something. And that's how I started the idea. And that was something I was not even sure if it was going to work. I just got that idea, and I was like 1 week, and I started creating a list of all the people I would like to talk to and hear all the stories about. And so I started just emailing them and like DMing on Twitter. And surprisingly, a lot of them answered. And almost for every story that I did, like there was a call, almost for all of them. Some of them were in a sink. I think like about 30 stories even before I had launched everything. And that was really awesome. So we talked to really a lot of awesome makers and founders. So the idea was, like pretty simple. You know, I thought it was very inspiring. Like a lot of other similar projects, I think you're in the category where it was also part of the inspo. Like there's a starter story, if you've heard about them, right? But they focus on something that I don't like personally, that is a trend of sharing, you know, MRRs, ARRs, and it's all about your income, whatever, as a first thing, and not about the craft, right? It's not about like the little details in the product. It's not about, you know, starting with an awesome idea and you're really caring about it and trying to build an awesome product and then having, you know, like MRR as an outcome of that. So I wanted to make sure, you know, not talk about the income, but not talk about any of that, but like more about the design aspect and the, you know, kind of craft side of it, which I think is like more important, valuable, like in our community.
I love it just because you have this attitude of, I'm just going to do it. You know, like I'm just going to make it happen. And you've done that so many times now. And it really speaks to who you are as a maker and as a builder. And it's obviously played a pretty significant role in your own journey. So
thank you.
I'm inspired. I genuinely am.
Thank you so much. Maybe to answer your question before, how I found 11 Labs, right? So in around like April this year, right? So I had like all these project and ideas, and now is a really awesome time to build like with all of the AI tools, right? So you like feel like really empowered, right? So my plan was, you know, like I started freelancing and focusing full time on projects, and I started putting a lot more out on Twitter. So there was AppStacks, one of the projects. Yeah, I got semi-viral, you know, like in my terms, and like I got a pretty good reception. I had like all of these projects, and I was thinking, I need to like one place. I have like all these separate websites. I need like one place to just, you know, like just link. And that was, I had like my personal website. So I was like, let me just like create a very simple website that I can share and I can list all of my projects. I just got a little idea, and that's how like a lot of concepts start, right? So I think you probably have the same thing, right? So like you think of some really cool interaction or like a concept in your mind, and you're like, yeah, it kind of makes sense in my mind, but let's see if that works. Framer and Webflow before that, right? So that stuff was built in Framer. And I was like, let me see if I can do that in Framer. And so like I came up with this like Kava interaction, but I was like, yeah, let me give it a shot. And so the idea was that we have a very clean layout. I'm kind of like a fan of awesome little details, right? So not to kind of lose the soul of product design. So try to always try to find something like an interesting concept that like, at least for me, for myself, I'm happy with. And, you know, I'm kind of happy to share online with my friends. And so I came up with this concept, and the idea is like, these are all my projects, and I hover over and I have like this little, you know, fun interaction. Yeah. And it was amazing to try to build this in Framer, and the fact that it worked, that was incredible. And the way it's built, it's a lot of different, whatever it's called in Framer scenes, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of these states, and I would have all of these separate layers, right? So just, we are hiding and showing all of these things on Hover. Pretty simple setup, but
it's so cool though. I remember a while ago actually sharing this as inspiration in the newsletter because I liked it so much. Like, it's amazing. Just like one really, really good Hover interaction as the core of a personal website is the ultimate move, in my opinion. Like, this just works so well.
Thank you so much. And that's something that I try to continue now also at 11 Labs, I think. I mean, you always want to have one main core interaction or like this wow factor or something that really makes it easy to understand what you're doing. On one hand, you want to make it really easy to understand what the whole page is about, what the whole product is about, but also you always want to have a little bit of fun, right? So this little part is a custom font as well. So like
I was literally making a mental note in my head. I was like, I need to inspect Element and figure out what font he's using there because it looks really cool.
There's a little website. I forgot the name, but I can share afterwards. It lets you just write on the iPad, right? You can also write it on paper, and you can write it with your own hand, and it would convert like your own handwriting into an actual font. So this is not a SVG or a picture. This is an actual font that I can use. And another fun little thing, I wanted to like as well, a little bit of info by myself. But the thing is, I didn't want to pay for like, you know, like a pro plan on Framer. So the lowest plan is like the cheap part of me, right? The lowest part is $5 and it's only one page. I was like, I really need the second page here. So instead of like, you know, upgrading to the pro plan, to the higher plan, I came up again with this little interaction where it would be the same page, but it would open this overlay.
Nice.
it's another page, but actually it's technically the same page. I don't know.
Constraints breed creativity. So I'm looking at your list of projects here, and you don't have Cali, which is the new one that you're working on. So can we talk a little bit about your latest experiment? Because you gave me a tiny glimpse and it's very, very cool. So I'm wondering if we can kind of do a deep dive into that next.
100%. Yeah, back in the early or middle October, right? So I had a little trip with my wife in Mexico. I've been playing a lot with Cloud Code, and it's amazing how much it unlocks. You know, if you're a designer, you have all the ideas, you know how it's supposed to look in the end. So like now you can, if you have a little bit of technical knowledge, you can build so many things. And I could say that keeps me awake at night. I'm just so excited about, you know, building so many things. I wanted to try and, you know, on one hand, experiment with our own APIs and see the developer experience of 11 Labs. And on the other hand, you know, I'm a huge fan of Mac apps. I think if I had a choice, I would just build only, you know, iPhone, iOS and native Mac apps because of, you know, all the experience and the detail to design. And yeah, so I had a time to experiment with Kali, and this is really awesome how much can be achieved in, I think it was part-time during 1 week. And so just like a little demo of what it can do, right? So it like lets you first, convert text to an audio with multiple voices and as well clone your voice. So you can, you know, you can create different pages for different projects. You can convert the text into voice. Another awesome thing, you can also clone your voice. So it was a nice experiment to, you know,
I love that.
Interactions and a lot of animations. And so if you try to record your voice and you get this view, you get this animation right here, you know, that is like brings a little bit of joy, right? So like when you're seeing that. And
the animation's so good.
Thank you. Yeah. And like small little details, right? So they're playing with like a little press effect. So this little floating bar. So like the idea is that it's floating on top visually, right? So when you press on it, I think like naturally what you expect is to kind of tilt like wherever you're pressing, then it's scaling down. If you press on the left side, it's like press a little bit more on the left side as well.
As someone with a little bit of technical know-how that's now been accelerated with AI and all these advancements and Claude Code, any lessons or advice or even just learnings that you've accumulated on your own journey building your own software that you think other people could learn from or be inspired by? Because I'm sure there's a good subset of people listening who keep hearing about Claude Code. They keep seeing examples of people who are building their ideas, but they're still kind of on the sidelines, not really sure like what's possible or maybe unsure of even just how to strategically think about using these tools.
Yeah. A couple of tricks that I have that I use, and something that I think you kind of have to find for yourself, right? To see like if that works. It's changing all the time. But something that I use for Claude Code all the time is, you know, like first making sure, you know, kind of treat it as, I don't know, like your teammate that works for me, right? So before like you start and, you know, you just kind of randomly say, build me this and build me this, like try to research like the best implementation. So how I started with Kali here, is explain, I want to try to use this API. I want to have this use case and I want to do this and this, and trying to research online and, you know, find best practices and give me some options and then like build a plan around that. And it would like, you know, go online and research and come back with a, like a massive document with options, with a exact implementation. And like when you see that, you just get super excited, right? I remember actually, you know, just 1 year ago before like I was even using any of these tools, right? So I was using something, like whole Flutterflow. So like for my first version of my app portal. And I remember, you know, like trying to sort out how Stripe APIs work, and their documentation is like insane because all these different versions that you can, all the different ways you can build. So that took me a while to like sort that out. That took me, I remember with some errors, like weeks, couple weeks to like try to solve some things that I, some problems that I had. Like now you can just say, hey, I want to build this and this, and it will actually go and find you the best ways to build. So like you're really cutting all the time and saving all the time. It's incredible. And yeah, then once you start building, what I do is I have a bunch of like MD files, right? So they always say like, yeah, create a Claude MD file for like, for the brief, for the info. What I do, I create as many as possible. So I would, whatever the feature is or the learning is, I say, hey, like save this in the, like payments API, or save this in the 11 Labs API, 11 Labs voices or voice cloning, so that it has context, because one issue right now, it's kind of forgetting. So there's a context window. So you will like save all the context in a specific MD file. And then whenever we need the information again, like it would go into the document and then understand what needs to be done. And another little trick is using to-do lists. So like it would also create, hey, I'm like keep track of what you're doing. So like once you create a plan of implementation, and it would also create another MD file that is a to-do list or tasks or something like that. It would go and kind of like do a little project management for Claude Code. Another thing, you know, always using branches and committing every time, you know, some big feature is completed, like making sure it's committed to GitHub. And then you set up a branch and then you, you know, merge and create a new branch. So the like big changes are not lost.
How much of this, if any, did you design in Figma ahead of time?
For me, it makes it a lot easier, right? Because with the AI, it's still a little tricky to get the UI right. So I had this one. So like just visually planning everything in Figma and trying to, you know, get at least the main screens.
And yeah, you straight up designed this product in Figma. Like you acted as a traditional designer and then also built the idea.
Yeah, exactly. So that's
very cool.
That's the way I went through it.
I think this is just an aside. The reason why I'm going to underline this and why I find it really inspiring is I think a lot of people look at AI and they write it off as, well, I can't get the visuals right. AI is not good at designing. And part of me is like, I hear you. If you're trying to one-shot the visuals, then yeah, you'll probably get a bunch of purple gradients. Yeah. But it just allows you to build pixel by pixel the idea that's in your head. And so you can literally design anything in Figma and then bring it to life exactly using Claude Code. And that's why I think I really love this example, because you've nailed the pixel level design details in Figma, but there are so many other little design details that you only figured out with Claude Code, like that kind of 3D tilt on press. Like that's a design detail. It just so happens to be in code, not in Figma.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it helps me a lot, you know, put my thoughts down in Figma, and I think that will not go away, right? So you just want to make sure you know where things are and you know how you want it to look, and from the UX perspective, how you want it to work. And this like really helps me, you know, be confident about not just one screen, right? You can just try to go and build this directly without the Figma mockup if it's one screen, but how it connects where you put some buttons and how the navigation works, how the whole experience works when you're trying to connect multiple screens. Like for me, it always helps having a Figma. And then it makes it a lot easier than to bring that to Cloud Code because they're like different extensions. You have this built in already. So you can even copy code straight from Figma. So you can copy Swift UI. So at some point, for example, I had issues with copying some exact code for the, or like getting some UI right. So I would try to, you know, select a component. Let's say this one, I would copy the Swift snippet directly into Cloud Code and say, hey, this is the code. Can you, and then also screenshot and say, can you build exactly like this? Mm-hmm. Or using a Figma MCP. But in my case, it's not always successful because it's copying the Figma layers right away and they're not always structured. You need to use a lot of auto layouts and that kind of thing. But if you just have this and then you can always, for me, I go, like I will talk to a person, I will try to, you know, add a screenshot, add some code and then say, hey, can you use this font size? Can you use this color? Add a screenshot, add some code. And then, you know, it takes a bit of back and forth, but then eventually you can really get it pixel perfect. And I want to highlight this because just the fact that it's doable from the UI side, right? So Mac and Swift UI has always been tricky or like known for not being very flexible whenever you want to build some custom stuff, right? So like a lot of apps, they look the same, but like even now already with Cloud Code, so like the background here, like is fully custom. So there's like a custom layer of blur. So we have one of the default blurs plus some overlays.
Building really cool things is one piece of the puzzle, but I think something else that you've obviously gotten a little bit more comfortable with over the last few years is putting them out there on the internet and talking about it and connecting with people. And maybe before I let you go, I'm curious if you have any advice for somebody watching who they have ideas, maybe they've even started to tinker, but they have basically no social presence and the whole thing feels a little bit weird and scary to them. Any insights or things that you want to say to that person?
For me, what works is trying to be really kind of, you could be proud of what you're working on, something you're excited about, right? So I think like the first step is to share it online and try to connect with people. I think that always works. It takes time. So like if you have no presence, it might take a bit of time, you know, to try to connect with the right people, but you have to get yourself in the community. So I think if you are in the design Twitter bubble, that's a really awesome space to be in, right? You're like on the same level with so many people and it's very easy to, you know, get in touch with a lot of designers and learn from them. Just putting stuff out there and not getting too demotivated when nothing's happening, when like you don't get a response, they're just the algorithm working. So just have to, you know, keep putting out there. If you're happy with it, some other people will be happy with it too. Even when it's something small, like for me, the things that work out the most were the things that I actually did not spend so much time on, right? It's always like that. I just got a quick idea and I thought, yeah, let me just build this and see what happens. And then let me just put it online.
Even tying back to something that you said earlier, when we were talking about app stacks too, and you talked about just DMing people and people were actually like kind of surprisingly willing to participate and respond. And that's been my experience too, where for some reason people are just really scared about sending DMs. And you don't really have to be if you want to get momentum and start building community and connect with like-minded builders, send a lot of DMs. I think that's probably the most underrated slice of the internet right now is Twitter DMs.
There's so much to give and so much to learn, right? Like Twitter now became the new Dribbble. That like people putting out stuff they're working on. It's not something fake. Like it's a very authentic. If you like pick the right bubble inside Twitter, like you can learn a lot and you can get yourself very inspired. A lot of people building a lot of really awesome things. So that's what's the idea behind AppStacks too. So you can see what other people are building and say, hey, actually, like this app is incredibly so well crafted. I can do it too. I know for a fact a lot of designers, like they have a lot of ideas, right? They also want to build a lot of things. So putting things out there also helps you connect with other people. And makes it easier to get your foot in the door. Yeah, whenever there can be like a project someone wants to build or like get into some company, like any company that might, I think the best way is to actually not try to apply through like a normal route and try to go through like HR and, try to like go bottom up. But the best way is to try to connect with some of the people that work there and see if you align, right?
Well, Roman, you've definitely inspired us today. I appreciate you coming on and sharing your screen, just walking us through everything that you're thinking and making. It's really an awesome journey, and I'm just glad that we got to turn it into an episode. I hope that it inspires somebody out there to follow in your footsteps, and I know I will.
Awesome. Thank you so much, man.
Before I let you go, I want to take just 1 minute to run you through my favorite products, because I'm constantly asked what's in my stack. Framer is how I build websites. Genway is how I do research. Granola is how I take notes during crit. Jitter is how I animate my designs. Lovable is how I build my ideas in code. Mobin is how I find design inspiration. Paper is how I design like a creative. And Raycast is my shortcut every step of the way. Now, I've hand-selected these companies so that I can do these episodes full-time. So by far, the number one way to support the show is to check them out. You can find the full list at dive.club/partners.